I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts. Radio.
What time is it, kids?
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
When it's radio, it's just those words are gone. Everything we do here, it's in a vacuum.
Jeff Lutz.
I have something against most older people's ideas. They just don't have any. We're at the top of pretty much everything. And here are boomers. Hey, I got my house and my social security, and I'm good.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Your visit is always discreet.
Stand by for action.
All right, we are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-hosting. Keeping an eye on the NBC World Series for you. Also, the trade market in Major League Baseball, which had some interesting developments last night. And then even, when did that Arozarena trade to Seattle happen?
Seemed like it happened about midnight.
Good grief, man.
Yeah.
How late is that Peter Bendix up in Tampa?
I don't know, but he was ready to make a move, and Seattle's always ready to make a move.
Good move by the Mariners, in my opinion, although you get back prospects. It looks like Tampa Bay, if not tearing it down, is looking at tearing it down. They've got Yandy Diaz on the trade market. They've got some other guys they're looking to deal.
Can I ask you a question about your team and my team? Because obviously I'm following my team very closely, and it seems like the only team that's mentioned among contenders of, well, it's going to be tough, they might not make a move, and this market is, I only talk about the Guardians. Everybody else, small market or not, Royals are going to be aggressive. Pirates are looking at stuff. Every other team. But when you get to the Guardians, well, it's pretty tough out there. Is that just me making that up, or is that?
That's what they all say.
Nobody says that. Well, Jerry Rapoto doesn't say that.
The Cardinals say to some degree.
They said last year we're going to go get two starting pitchers or whatever.
Well, that was in the offseason.
Yeah, okay.
Well, three, and they got Lynn, Gray, and Gibson, and they're going to be in the same predicament this offseason.
Didn't they say we're going to try to acquire pitching when we make last year?
Yeah, but they got pitching issues throughout their organization.
At least they have a goal.
Well, at least they have a goal, but they're not attaining it. Deal with it. You're 19 games over 500.
20.
Whatever. I don't want to hear you whining.
Not whining. I'm just saying, is that out there for any other team? That, oh, it's tough
I don't know. I don't follow every other team.
Well, it's trust
I can
me.
Tell you the Cardinals say it. John Mozeliak, who I despise.
Well, then I'd fire him. And I'm about to fire Chris
but
Antonetti.
I think the Cardinals will bring in some help. I expect them to bring in. I think they're a team that, you know, there's been some trade deadlines in the past where they really went out and did something interesting. They brought Jordan Montgomery in a couple years ago and Jose Quintana, that really pushed them over the top. Those were two good starting
pitchers.
You think
this is a team that, I know they're four games over 500 or whatever they are, and they're in the mix, but is this a team where a player or two can push them over the top?
Yes.
I don't know if I see that, but it could be true.
Yes, if Goldschmidt and Arenado were to start hitting, and they added to their pitching.
Well, we're 100 games in.
I understand that. I get it. You're talking to a guy who understands it. Would I sell my house to bet on the Cardinals? Of course not. But they got to do something here.
We'll see,
it sounds like the two pitchers that are most on their radar are Nathan Eovaldi and Zach Eflin. And we'll see.
Good luck.
I'd take either one of those.
Those pitchers are on a lot of teams'
radars. They're not aces, but they're middle rotation guys.
I'd like to have Eovaldi, but it sounds like Texas wants to be buyers, which, hey, they made a proclamation. Guardians, that's tough. Makes me sick.
Well, then change team.
I'm about to.
No, you're not.
About to change Pobos and GMs.
You're not going to change teams. You like to whine too much.
Well, I'm sure
my point is
I can whine about the
Giants.
Get on
the wagon.
I can whine about the Giants, too.
Oh, you're going to go to the Giants?
No, but if I... And that's a never going to happen thing. But if the Guardians fell off the face of the earth.
I am deeply entrenched in the Cardinals that I couldn't leave if I wanted to.
Right, I'm the same.
But I'm going to tell you that the team that I've gained an appreciation.
Stop it. Go root for them then.
Because they've been good to League 42, the Royals.
Great.
Don't get angry, man. Did you see Bobby Witt Jr. out at Bishop Miege High School?
I did not.
Yesterday. Just hanging out, doing a clinic, had a great time, was brought to tears by some of the things the kids said. I'd love to get Bobby Witt Jr. here.
That'd be fantastic.
To talk to our kids. And I'm going to try to make that happen. Now that I have a relationship, and I don't want that to sound like, oh, the Royals are just at my beck and call. No. But now that I know some people in the organization, that's a much more likely thing than it used to be.
Well, good. I would, tread carefully, but pursue what you want to pursue.
That's what you got to do. You can't be bombastic. You got to tiptoe around this stuff.
Of course.
But you also can't be meek. Would you say maybe Bobby Witt?
Yeah, it's just
you can't do that. That's what you would do.
Never be meek. Are you kidding me? Not a meek man.
We'll see. We'll see tonight how you approach Duda.
Duda, I'll knock him out.
At the pump house. I'll
throw a dart at his head.
Are you going to play darts?
I don't know. We'll see.
I'm looking forward to it. We got the big fella, Anthony. We got Duda. We got David Michael Hahn. Tony may show up, our program director.
I don't
director.
Know why he wouldn't.
Well, he'll be
you
there.
You advertised him yesterday.
Yeah, I think he might go. He'll probably want to, sit next to me and we can negotiate my next contract.
Fantastic. Remember my favored nations clause.
Say what again?
I said, remember my favored nations clause.
I don't know what that means.
That means whoever is the highest paid person, you got to match that for me.
You got the Phillies tonight.
Who cares?
The Royals at home against the Cubs. And Kyle Hendricks going for the Cubs in that game. I don't know if that... who's going for the Royals?
Not
Brady
sure.
Singer. Kyle Hendricks is great against the Cardinals and awful against everyone else. The Royals will bombard him tonight.
Could be. I hope not.
Trust me.
He's not very good.
They will annihilate.
Where's that game?
In Kansas
City. Well, then, yes, they will because they cheated at home.
And,
I mean, they play better at home.
Our office manager, administrative assistant Jacqueline, her husband's a huge Cubs fan, and they're up there for this one.
Uh-oh.
And I told her this is not the game to go
to. It's never a good idea to go see your team play against the Royals in Kansas City.
I hate it.
It never works out.
I used to go all the time when they played the Cardinals in Kansas City. And the Cardinals fared pretty well. The Cardinals have had a pretty good run against the Royals. Now, this year, the Royals came into St. Louis and just wiped the table with us.
You get them again, though, right?
We get them in Kansas City.
For a couple.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They're an uncomfortable team to play right now. They haven't always been. I mean, they've been terrible for most of the past 40 years. But you got to be careful with them.
Yeah, it sucks to lose to them.
And they're feeling it. Trust me. They like being good. And I think this time they have a better chance of sustaining it. Remember, last time they couldn't afford to keep their good players. Well, their great players already under contract. And it seems like this ownership is intent on building around Bobby Witt Jr.
Looks like it. Well, they've given him a huge contract. And they've locked him up. They're keeping him around forever. I'll go back to the Guardians just because I'm so...
Why? I want to talk about
this.
Because
I'm so irritated. And we'll go back to that. Can you believe Guardians have either tied for or the best record in the American League? They go to Philadelphia, who has the best record in baseball, and they roll out This is your weekend rotation. Ben Lively, Carlos Carrasco, and Xavion Curry.
Well, they're just going to kill you.
They are going to kill us.
Are you ready for this?
I know what's going to happen.
I mean, they're already running to the bat rack in Philadelphia, and the game doesn't start for 4 hours.
It's unfortunate.
They can't wait. They just acquired Austin Hayes from the Orioles, which addresses an outfield need for them.
Yeah, they can put him in center wherever they need to.
He's a pretty good hitter. He's hot right now. So they make a deal. They send out one of their bullpen arms. They've got some issues in their bullpen, but Sir Anthony Dominguez is headed to Baltimore.
Correct.
He'll help Baltimore's bullpen.
Yeah, he's got to get a little better.
Craig Kimbrell's not the answer.
He's shaky at best. And I feel bad for him. Not really, because he plays on a team that I want to beat. But he's had such a good career, and I don't like seeing guys go out like this.
Well, I mean, he started well. He just,
it's kind of happens.
Is he 36?
Kind of happens to him every year.
Yeah, he's got a lot of innings in that arm.
Remember the year you had with the White Sox, and then he got traded to, I believe, the Cubs, and kind of fell apart. It kind of happens.
I remember a Cardinals game in Chicago where the Cubs jumped out, and in the late innings, the Cardinals just went to work against Craig Kimbrell. They just hit so many home runs, it was unbelievable.
Or was it the Cubs to the White Sox? I think that was the
I don't care what it was.
But either way,
Cubs. That's what I'm talking about.
Fine.
Don't interrupt my story with the need for a detail that nobody cares about.
Just want to make a deal, man. Just make some deals.
You are pathetic. The older you get, the more pathetic you are.
How do you figure?
Do you hear me over here doing this? I mean,
yeah, but you've won.
How many? Oh, 11.
I don't care.
I will always have a feeling of superiority.
I don't care. I just want one. You can have 99 if I get one.
If I get 99, which would take quite a deal since there's only 11. I'd need to win 88. How many years do I have left?
How many years does baseball have left?
What do you mean, how many years?
Well, Major League Baseball exists in the year 2500.
No.
It won't?
Something else will. Societies move on. There won't be football. There won't be baseball. There probably won't be basketball. There may not even be people. It'll just be 2200. Intelligence doing everything.
Will there be Major League Baseball in 2200?
Yes.
So somewhere between 2200 and 2500.
Yeah, that's 300 years.
Major League Baseball doesn't exist.
That's 300
years. I understand how long it is, but at 2200, it will have been around for nearly 400 years.
Yeah, and we love baseball. We love basketball. We love football. We love hockey. All these sports will eventually cease.
Hockey will still be around because there's ice. And you can
understand what
play outside on the ice. You don't need to build a field, construct a diamond. You can just go set up two goals and play on the lake.
No, you need a rink, and you need to smooth out the ice, and you need to...
No, they play on the ice.
There won't be ice.
On the lake.
Listen, that's why they call it ice hockey.
You said there won't be hockey.
You got to smooth out the ice. They don't call it. Listen.
Yeah, no kid in Canada grew up playing on the lake.
We'll ask Duda tonight.
Okay. Well, we don't need to ask.
There'll be hockey. Will there be NHL hockey?
Don't know.
Why would kids play it if
will
there's
there
not?
Will there be the city of Los Angeles?
I don't know. Don't get into all that.
Have
some hope.
Will there
be
the
long
city
gone.
Of Butte, Montana?
Sure.
Okay.
Wichita will be here.
You think so?
Sure it will.
Will it have a Major League Baseball team?
We will take a break. We'll continue whatever this was. Morbid something. The Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
All right, a programming change. We are going to get Troy Morrill on the show here today at 3:40. Troy Morrill coming out of coaching retirement, joining Nate Dreiling's staff at Utah State.
Really? That's amazing. I did not know.
That's a big deal. That guy is a heck of a football coach. Many years of success at Butler Community College. Troy had gone into a private business for several years now. Quite a few years, and he's getting back on the sidelines.
Yeah,
I was astounded by that news, and thanks to Troy for agreeing to come on here in about 14 minutes or so. So I'm reading ESPN.com. Of course, everybody wants to write about trades that could happen because people click on them.
Of course.
And that's all we do. We click, 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 click.
And then nothing
and meanwhile,
happens.
Our teams do nothing. But we click, and... they have the Cleveland Guardians kind of active. Deals that will likely rule the deadline. These are trades they think should be made.
All right.
What's the kid's name? Schoenfeld?
David.
David thinks the Cleveland Guardians should acquire Garrett Crochet from the Chicago White Sox.
Hmm. Guess it wouldn't hurt. We'll see.
They won the draft lottery and number one pick Travis Bazzana. They can afford to deal the package needed to bring Crochet to Cleveland. They also, down here a little farther, they had the Guardians active another time that the Oakland Athletics should trade Mason Miller to the Cleveland Guardians, according to what's Doolittle's first name? Brandon?
No, I don't remember.
Thinks that they should bring him into team with Emmanuel Clase.
Can I ask another question? Mason Miller
broke his hand, right?
He broke his left pinky, and he throws right-handed. Why would he need to go on the injured list for that?
No, he said it's painful, man.
Got
to stabilize the pain for a while.
For 10 days?
Yeah.
Go on pitch.
Stabilize.
He'll be fine. Pitch.
And then it's got a really... far-fetched idea that the Chicago Cubs should trade Cody Bellinger to the Cardinals.
Really? Yeah, that's not going to happen.
They won't trade him to the Cardinals. But we'd take him.
Yeah, I'm sure you would, but that's that seems unlikely.
And you know what they'd do with him? No, they wouldn't. They don't have the courage. They'd play him in center field or maybe even right field.
What are you about to say?
Go to first
play
base.
Play first, no chance.
Man, I'm a loyal guy, and I love Paul Goldschmidt. But if you're going to try to win something here, their best team would be for Cody Bellinger. Now, this is crazy. I understand it's not happened and it won't happen. But if it were to happen, their best team would be with Cody Bellinger at first base.
And who in center?
Michael Ciani.
He's not good.
Who is a great outfielder.
Well, so is Bellinger.
You know what? Ciani over the last month and a half has hit over 300.
Oh, okay.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, pal.
So what did that bring him up to, 180?
No, he's hitting about 230, 240.
Great.
I mean, I'm not
no power.
Forming a fan club for
your
Michael
best
Ciani.
Team with Bellinger is Bellinger in center and Goldschmidt at first.
Maybe if Goldschmidt gets it going. But you got to have Ciani somewhere.
No, you don't. He's a fourth outfield type. Bring him
I
in.
I like the kid. I've grown to like him.
Well, you can like him.
Yeah, listen. The Cardinals got a lot of decisions to make. Every team does. It's got to be maddening to run a Major League Baseball team.
I'm sure
in
it
this
is.
This day and age where no one can hit, and how do you get hitting? Or do you just stock up on pitching so that no one can hit you?
I don't know. It's you got to thread the needle. You got to make those tough decisions.
Just get a bunch of pitching, and you never have to worry. They won again tonight, 2-1. Congratulations. And the game played in 2 hours and 7 minutes.
Well, that might be the way to go. And
might be the way to
that's
go.
What a lot of teams are trying to do, but who's really successful at it? Maybe the Phillies?
Well, I don't know. Who has – the Dodgers are trying.
They always
try. Kershaw back now.
Glasnow's back, I believe, or coming back.
And they're expected to make a move. They just traded James Paxton to the Red Sox. I don't know why. I don't know why the Reds, boy, they're hurting for pitching. So we'll see.
We will. 4 days. An agonizingly...
Well, it's not 4 days. These teams are starting to make moves now.
Okay.
We'll have more trades tonight. We'll have a few over the weekend.
We'll see.
We'll get to the deadline, and your Guardians will not have done anything, and you'll be...
No, you don't get to say that.
And then you'll be a nervous
wreck. You don't get to say that.
Well, I will say it.
You don't get to say that. You're not a fan. You're being Duda right now.
I will say it. And when you tell me I'm being Duda, and Duda, I hope you're listening.
I hope you're not.
That's a deep honor.
Really? I didn't mean it that way.
That means I'm a Thunder Hall of Famer.
I meant it as an insult.
That means I have a jersey hanging somewhere, which, by the way, I do at the pump house.
Is that why we're going there? Man, you just ruined it for me. Thought we were going to have a good time tonight.
Why would you say that about me?
I don't know. It's just tough.
Would you rather not sit in the area where...
We can sit anywhere you
they
want.
They have my jersey on display. It's not hanging. It's on display.
It's hanging on the wall.
It's not hanging. It's displayed on the wall.
Yeah, via a hanger.
No, not a hanger.
Basically
he put it in a
hanger.
Frame.
I don't know.
Very nice. And I appreciate Darren for doing it.
He's a wonderful guy.
He also got Brent Kimnis's.
Yeah, so it's not like it's luminary.
And who else? There's one other.
I don't know.
Might be Pelfrey.
That'd be my guess.
Somebody like that. But I look forward to heading downtown after the show today.
No doubt. Me too. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I don't care what you... Good.
You're welcome.
What time's... I forgot to mention Tua. Can't say his last name. Say it for me.
Tungavailoa.
Tungavailoa. Why is it tongue? Why is there an N in there?
I don't know. I don't want to speculate.
And why is an A instead of an O? And Vailoa. That makes sense. But the first four letters of his name are T-A-G-O. Why isn't it Tagovailoa?
Because it's not.
It's Tungavailoa?
Yeah.
T-U-N-G-A. When his name is spelled T-A-G-O.
Tungavailoa.
Well, make it make sense.
Different letters are pronounced different ways in different dialects.
He's agreed to a 4-year, $212.4 million extension. $167 million of that guaranteed. No player in the NFL will be under a bigger microscope than Tunga.
Dak.
What?
Dak. Probably will. Dak, the quarterback of the highest profile franchise, which might be the Chiefs now, but he's not going to be under a spotlight because he's 2-time Super Bowl defending champ.
Well, they'll be under a spotlight simply because they're trying to win 3 in a row.
Yeah, but he won't be under, like, he won't get, Patrick Mahomes can't win the big one or things like that, like Dak will.
Then the NBA TV package announced today, split between Disney, ESPN, ABC, NBC, and Prime Video. And Charles Barkley now saying he's spoken with all three entities. We knew he wasn't gonna leave.
Probably not.
Why'd he say that?
That show itself has to continue somewhere. And I don't know if it can. I'm sure.
I don't know if it can either.
They own the intellectual property. TNT does, I'm sure. Or Warner Brothers Discovery or whatever.
Well, Warner wasn't in this package. They're not
right.
Part
they
of
got
it.
They matched the offer from Amazon, but the NBA went to Amazon instead, which I don't understand.
Troy Morrill joins us. Boy, Troy, you threw me a curveball this morning when I read the report by Charles Chaney over at the Butler County Times that you've accepted a position at Utah State joining Nate Dreiling's staff. You are going to be the associate head coach and senior offensive analyst. Wow. Troy, what? Explain it to me.
I think I caught a lot of people off guard, sort of including myself. But, just really, really excited about this opportunity to get back into football. It was 10 years when I left Butler 10 years ago and, did that for my family and don't regret anything about that. I was able to accomplish everything I wanted to accomplish in the meantime. And so this, you know, this opportunity came sort of out of the blue, and I just felt like it was time to get back into it. And I know there's been a tremendous amount of change in college football, but I'm anxious and ready to get back into it and, you know, get the whistle back on and start coaching and be a part of building something out here at Utah State with Nate.
How did you kind of arrive at the decision? This is the question I really want to ask that I just forgot, but I'll ask it now. How did you kind of stay close to football during the time away? And how do you prepare yourself for getting back into it? I'm sure a lot has changed over the last 10 years.
Yeah. Staying close to it was, when I immediately left Butler, my son still played, so I was able to watch a lot of high school football and then, you know, just take a seat as a fan. And I watched several Butler games, stayed attached there when I lived in Hutchinson and helped those guys out. I would go watch some Hutch JUCO games live, went and watched a lot of college games, and then obviously a lot on TV that I didn't ever get to watch, you know, when you're coaching the game. And then just going and watching some of my former players that were playing, still play, go watch them play in games, and then guys that are coaching, be able to go in and see them as well. So I guess just to answer your question, just a lot of viewing of it. And at least what my wife tells me, she hates watching football with me because I always love to rewind things. And so just watching the game evolve and so forth, the different variations of it, the new ideas that come in and just watch it as a fan. And then, now it's just getting back and it's kind of like riding a bicycle. You know, you jump on and, you know, get your balance back and eventually just take right off and go. And I've been out here for a little over, going on 48 hours now. It's been a whirlwind, but man, it's gives me goosebumps. Talked to the team a little bit this morning for the first time. And that was awesome. Very fulfilling and just super thankful for the opportunity. And it's sitting here staring out my window right now at a huge mountain range and a lot different than Kansas or Boston, where I was living.
Is there a job for me there? That sounds incredible. Troy Morrill, our guest, we're talking to him about his decision to join the staff of Nate Dreiling at Utah State. Interesting, too, that Dave Weimers is also going to join that staff, former head coach at Emporia State. Tell us about your relationships with Coach Dreiling and Coach Weimers and how much that played into this decision, if at all.
Yeah, so, I would say my relationship with Nate is more through his dad, Randy, and just meeting Nate when he was really young. I was going in there and recruiting at Hutch High and had a good relationship with Randy and talked to Nate a few times here and there in passing and stuff and just really followed his career and all of that, but honestly not a whole lot of, you know, interaction up until this point of the phone call that came in. It was crazy. We were out at Nantucket and getting on the ferry to head back to Cape Cod, and that phone call came in. I was like, is this real, you know, kind of thing? I actually told him I probably couldn't do it, and we just kept talking for 2 or 3 weeks there and ended up just, making a decision that I think where I'm at in my life and my kids, my wife, it was, you know, they're all ready to get back into it as well. So it was definitely not only a decision for me, but for my family as well.
And Dave Weimers, if you don't mind telling us a little bit about that, because he's also a very good football coach.
He certainly is. And honestly, haven't had a lot of interaction with him. He actually landed in Salt Lake around noon today, so I'm anxious to visit with him. You know, I haven't had any contact with him at all, you know, leading up to this point. So he and I will definitely be the two elders on the staff, though.
Yeah, Nate is a young guy, a first-time head coach. He got thrust into it after some, I don't know what happened with the program, but it was tumultuous. So what impression has he made on you so far just during your conversations? What traits show you that he can be a solid head coach?
Oh, man, he's got a really good toolbox. You know, he's all about the athletes, the student athletes, and you know, giving them the platform and the things that they need to be successful, you know, off the field, on the field. He's definitely, I would say, like a player's coach. You know, his playing days weren't that long ago, so he relates with the guys extremely well from what I've seen so far. And, you know, he's extremely mature. He's obviously been around the game his whole life, and he's so that pedigree is there. And, you know, defensive mind, you know, and so he'll be spending a lot of time not only as a head coach, but also on the defensive side of the ball. So that's where myself and Coach Weimers can come in and help him, you know, do some of the head coach tasks along the way. But, man, he's a great communicator, great motivator. You can just tell in the short time I've been here, the players respect him and love him. And you know, he's definitely a guy that understands the things that these players go through, and these kids have faced some adversity here, obviously, with everything that's gone on here. And the biggest thing I could say probably just about the culture is that nobody has left here. So the portal opened up when Blake Anderson was let go, and everybody stayed, and there's some guys on here that were
awesome.
Are on this team that had some major offers from different places. And so I think that speaks everything that you need to know about Nate and how he's been able to hold this thing together.
Troy Morrill, our guest, I believe he's the finest junior college football coach who's ever done it. He's headed now to Utah State to join the staff of Nate Dreiling. I got to give it up to Nate Dreiling, because I'm curious, Troy, how many times have you been asked to join a Division I staff in your career?
I can think of like three different times. And the last time was Les Miles at KU. And, obviously we know how all that turned out. So I'm glad I didn't make the jump, but, just a handful of times. I still get, you know, a few calls here and there for different levels of football, but, I don't know. This one just felt like they've had tradition here. It's a great place to live. You know, the culture and everything. And with Nate, I know what he's about and all that. So that was a main thing, too, like who you're going to surround yourself with and so forth in a decision like this.
Well, Logan, Utah gains the Morrill family, and Kansas will be sad about your loss, but we're so – I'm speaking personally here. I think it's awesome that you're going to get back into coaching, and you've given us more reasons to follow Utah State. Troy, it's a real pleasure to talk with you. Best of luck, and congratulations on this.
Well, thank you so much, Bob, and thank you for the kind words. And it's going to be fun. Super excited, and you know, we're going to give it our best, and so. Go Aggies, and thanks again for having me on.
You bet. Thank you, Troy.
Sir, thanks, Jeff.
Troy Morrill. Awesome. I just think that's awesome. He's one of my favorite people that I've ever – and I didn't cover him.
I did.
But I know him.
And he's he was fantastic.
Just a good guy. And Utah State, man, when do they play? I'm ready. I'm going to look up their schedule.
Probably late August.
Well, give me a schedule.
Give me a second.
Give me some gear. You want to get me a Christmas
They play Robert
present?
Morris on
there
August
you go.
31st.
They're going to kill Bob.
And then they got USC. Then they got Utah.
Uh-oh. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being with us all week. We'll be back here on Monday. Have a good weekend.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.